You're listening to the Journey Podcast. What if your insecurities held the key to unlocking your authentic self and fostering greater self-acceptance? Stay tuned for today's episode. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end, this is the Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In this heartfelt episode, we embark on a journey of self-discovery and self-love, delving into the powerful theme of embracing our insecurities. Our guest courageously shares her personal experiences and insights into the profound impact of societal pressure and the relentless pursuit of body image perfection. We explore how these expectations can lead to emotional turmoil and damage, affecting mental well-being. Throughout our conversation, we shine a light on the transformative healing power that comes from embracing our authentic selves. Together, we navigate the importance of giving ourselves permission to let go of the relentless quest for perfection and instead cultivate self-love regardless of our appearance. This episode invites us to challenge societal norms and cultivate a deeper sense of acceptance and compassion, fostering improved mental and emotional well-being. Ada Andes is a happiness and confidence coach specializing in food, body, and mind freedom. Ada is passionate about transforming your relationship with food, your body, and yourself from the inside out, holding space for slowing down, rediscovering who you are, breaking down beliefs, and embracing fears, doubts, and insecurities that might be blocking you from living out your happiest and most confident life. Here is my interview with Ada Andes. Hi, Ada. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because how to embrace your insecurities is such an interesting topic for today's episode. And thank you so much for coming on today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be chatting with you and to meet you and to dive into a topic that I'm so incredibly passionate about.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to have you. And I think this is an extremely important topic to talk about. So I'm very excited to dive in. So for starters, do you want to share a little bit about yourself and your story, how you came to do what you do and what it is that you do today?
Sure. I love telling my story because I think, and especially that because it pertains so much to what we're going to be talking about, because I'm a happiness and confidence coach and I specialize in food freedom and body image. And I mean, if you ask my mom, I've been coaching since I was 3. So I've apparently been a coach my entire life, but it took me a few years to kind of get there. And really, my story begins, or my story as my body story and my coach story began with a very innocent goal that I think, if not everybody, but a lot of people will relate to, is of wanting to lose some weight. And back in 2017, you know, it was, I don't know, a few months into my first corporate job, you know, and then you have all the freedom post-college, kind of your body expands a little and changes a little. And I found myself wanting to lose some weight, kind of get back in shape, get start moving. And it was 2017 that I finally consistently started doing that, started consistently eating. And I navigated tracking macros and I started training for a marathon and exercising and all of these beautiful things. And while I'm happy to say that I reached my goal back then in, you know, a span of 6 months on the outside, I reached my goal. I was in a body that was very heavily societally celebrated, right? There was a lot of celebration. There was a lot of pride that I was receiving, congratulations and all these beautiful things. And at the same time, for I think a year from that point, it landed me in one of the darkest places I've ever been in both my mind, my body, and just I lost myself, like, because of the obsession that I had quickly. Like, how quickly did that develop? The obsession with food. I mean, I cried when my recipes wouldn't match what my numbers needed to be. I spent 8 hours cooking on Sundays, which was helpful during the week, but it was so much pressure. My family's back from Poland, so they came visit that particular summer. And instead of spending time with them, I would go on 2-hour walks after work because I had to get my steps, because I had to get my movement. I would work out at 4:30 in the morning. And it was, again, while on the outside, my body was so societally approved and celebrated, there was a particular moment that I will never forget, standing in my living room and looking at my stomach and saying, "I hate you," because of how it looked. And, you know, standing where I am now, when I look at the pictures from back then, I mean, there was nothing to me. I was at a very unhealthy weight at that point, which I didn't realize. And yet I still thought that there was something wrong with me. Like, if only my stomach looked just a little bit differently. And I remember being so excited because I thought that summer is going to be the summer when I wear a bikini, you know, and like feel confident and happy. And I was dying on the inside. Like, the amount of body checking and touching myself that I've done for like a year forward from that point to make sure that, you know, my waist fit in like a particular shape and my clothes were just a little too big to make sure that they were like, I was still okay. And it was such a dark, dark period because I didn't know who I was at that point. My confidence was fake. I faked my confidence. I tried to show it on the outside, but inside it was such a shadowy and dark time. And I remember one day I just said, enough. I was so done with being constantly in my head, constantly thinking about my body, constantly thinking about food, constantly worrying about exercise and missing out on life and affecting really everybody. Like, my husband has expressed to me, he's like, where are you? Who are you? Like, we're not connecting. We're not spending time together. I miss you. I miss the fun you. And I said enough. And I adopted a hashtag, find your happy, that came out of the blue for me. And ever since then, so it's been 4 or 5 years of constant healing, constant letting go, constant embrace of all the things of all of myself. And each year looked different. Each year that confidence looked a little bit different. And each year I was like, oh, this is it. This is where I'm confident. And finally today, in the last 2 years, really, after doing a lot of deep work, I finally 50 to 60 pounds later, or 30 kilos later, in the biggest body that I've ever had for me, I can confidently say that I now know what unconditional confidence feels like. What I've always had was conditional confidence. And now I finally understand what that unconditional confidence that doesn't rely on anything external, no matter how much I lift, what I eat, what people say, what my body looks like, what, you know, clothes I get to wear or not. It doesn't affect who I am and how confident I am. And it's so good to be myself again.
Yeah. Wow. What a journey. And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, parts of that journey sound downright exhausting when you're talking about having to exercise, watch your food, plan everything out to the tiniest detail. It sounds like a very, very exhausting and dark time of your life. So when you decided that wasn't the way that you wanted to continue living, what were some of the changes that you started with? What were some of the first things that you did to try and alleviate all of that pressure that you were under?
I remember one of the first things that really pushed me into it. So I think, it was 2018. 2018 into the 2019 period, into my wedding year. And everything sort of culminated because I was working full time. I went to grad school online, so I was getting my degree, and I was planning a wedding. That kind of culminated for me. And I started to realize that something has to go. Something has to be let go. And I started by letting go. Exercise was the one thing that I started to let go of a little bit. I was an obsessive exerciser, 5 to 6 times a week, 1 to 2 hours. It feels so exhausting, like you said, thinking about that back then. And that was one of the things that I started to realize, that I have to be okay with not exercising as much. And I also started missing food. I was doing so many dietary change. I've gone through so many dietary restrictions through those years, that I went through a paleo diet. I went through a Whole30. I went through all of these things and removed so many things from my diet. And I started to miss that. I started to miss food. And one by one, I started to realize that, one, not tracking. That was the one thing that I let go of as well, is tracking my food. It's like, I was so exhausting, so time consuming. Like, tracking is a beautiful tool, and it can get to a point where it just becomes way too obsessive. And knowing myself, I just went full in with it. So I stopped tracking. One day I just said, nope, I'm not doing it again. We'll see what my body tells me. I started not exercising as much, and that really brought on a lot of fear and anxiousness around, okay, what's going to happen when I start, not exercising as much? Or how is my body going to change? Will I lose my progress? All of the questions that a lot of people can relate to. And that really kickstarted the working through all of these fears and doubts and insecurities, because of that one simple, it's like, okay, I need to let go of, doing all of the things, because I'm exhausted, my wits end, and I have zero energy for anything. So just, it was that recognition that something has to go, and really leaning into, okay, I miss food, so let me start eating, and let me start figuring out how can I fit exercise into my life instead of exercise becoming my life.
Yeah, I hear you on the fear. And I'm wondering, was this a fear that was internal, like it came from yourself? Or did you also experience a fear around what other people would say, or how you would be judged if something now changed about your body, or something changed about the way you looked? Did you experience that as well? Or was that an internal pressure that you were struggling with?
I think it was both. I think the internal pressure was definitely fueled by the external pressure. So while I thought that it was my fear, I also recognized that it was a lot of the, at that point in my life, my confidence relied on the external validation that I was getting. It feels good, right? It feels good when everybody tells you, it's like, oh my God, you look great. Like, congratulations. I wish I could do that. And all of these beautiful things, which really inspired me to become a coach. Initially, I thought I turned into being a nutrition coach, which I still do a little bit. And through my journey, that kind of transitioned into what I do now. But my own journey did inspire me to help people, become, at that point, the thin version of me. What had happened was there was this identity that I developed that was almost placed on me. It's like, she's the one that works out. She's the one that goes to the gym. She's the one that's consistent. She's the one that's, ripped, or whatever you want to call it, right? And I think the hardest part of it was there was a fear of, who am I, or what's going to happen when those things about me change? Who am I going to be? Will people still view me as, a worthy person, or someone to look up to, if I start changing those things? So it was that fear of that, losing that identity, because that's all I was. I lost myself, and in turn, I placed this I let people place this identity upon me. It's like, she's the one that works out. She's the one that posts her workouts all the time. She's the one that motivates me this way. And by transitioning, it was a lot of fear when it comes to what will happen when I'm no longer that person.
Yeah, there's a lot of our self-worth and our own value tied to other people's validation. So yeah, I hear you on that. And how did you manage to let go of those fears? How did you manage to deal with the fear and the low self-confidence? What were some of the steps that you took to be able to say, I feel confident now, I'm okay exactly the way I look, and I love my body, and I am confident about it? So what did you do? How did you take those steps?
Oh, it took me a while to figure it out, because I mean, initially it was trial and error, right? It was convincing myself that everything is okay. Like, I almost had to tell myself, like, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm going. If you don't work out today, that's okay. If you don't post your workout this morning, that's okay. The world is not going to come at you. People are not going to start hating you all of a sudden. And a lot of that was just convincing myself, or trying to convince myself, that I was okay. And that worked for a while. I mean, it got me through the first periods of that. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago when I hired a coach, I entered a mentorship that ripped me to shreds inside and out, and showed me that it's actually not about letting go of all of the fears and insecurities and doubting yourself and all of these negative voices in your head, right? Where it just doesn't create a pleasant experience. And that's what we're sold, is how can we get rid of all of that? How can we minimize it? How can we shut it up, shut it out, right? And that was the most transformational learning in this journey for me, was that it wasn't about shutting it out or pushing it down or kicking it out or letting it go. It was, what I needed to do was to listen, to listen and to hear every single one of those fears, to lean in and embrace, really, and be that calm person that listens to those fears and those insecurities, to one, find out where they're actually coming from, to hear their story, right? Because when we think of ourselves, we love the good parts. We love the good parts, the positive parts, the comfortable parts. And we think that we, instead, in order to be a happy person and be fully confident, we just need to avoid the uncomfortable ones. And by acknowledging and accepting every single part of the whole experience, so insecurities, doubts, and fears in tow, that was what changed my confidence from being conditional and trying to convince myself that I'm confident, to truly starting to see that I am confident, even though I'm insecure, even though I'm still scared, even though, you know, I worry about things. And I mean, I still worry about what people think. That doesn't go away. I still have bad body image day. I still have questioning moments. It's like, oh, should I change my body? Should I not? I still miss the smaller version of myself sometimes. That doesn't go away. It's just that I know that those parts of me are fine to be there. I can be, like, I get to be insecure. I get to be scared. I get to be sad or overwhelmed or whatever that is. And it doesn't take away the fact that my body is okay. Just because I'm insecure doesn't mean that there's something wrong with my body. It was that unleashing and unraveling of every story that I was told by someone else, and I took it as my own, and questioning is like, okay, is it actually my story? Do I actually believe that I have to be, look a certain way, lift a certain way, eat a certain way, show up a certain way in order for people to find value in me as a human? Do I find value in me as a human? And through working to embrace my body and heal my relationship with my body and food and exercise, it was really that's when I started finding me that I never knew before. Yeah. That's where I discovered layers of me that I never knew before.
Yeah, it almost sounds like when you're talking about that, that the body issues are almost a mask that we put on and hide behind so that we don't have to look deeper at the kind of authentic things that are going on underneath. Because if we can hide behind a skinny looking body or an acceptable body, and I'm putting this in air quotes here.
Yes.
Then we don't have to question any of the other things that are going on. We don't have to deal with anything else that's going on, because on the outside, everything's fine. So it seems like we can cover up some of the work that we should be doing on our authentic selves through these masks that include the body image. So, and like you said, it doesn't mean that every day after is going to be perfect and that there's no more fear, no more doubt. But by looking at you, you have this calm confidence, and it's so wonderful to be in your presence. And I think that is part of what you are talking about, is to get to that point where we're okay with all of that. We accept it. We love ourselves anyways, despite the masks, despite all the things that we've tried to do. We come to a point where we align and where we tap into ourselves. So yeah, I love that. And I love the way that you are explaining, because I think this is also how you work with your clients on finding their authentic selves. So yeah, it sounds very nurturing and supportive, and that you're creating a space for them to take that journey in as well.
Thank you for saying that. I receive and appreciate that. And yeah, you're totally right. It's that embrace and the nurturing and the okayness of it. I think that the worry, like, you don't have to, you know, love yourself, or like the love is, you'll get there eventually. It's not that love yet. And it's that okayness and true entirely that if you're struggling with your body, if you're struggling with food, with emotional eating, overeating, consistency, whatever that is, that really that it's a catalyst. Like once you start working on that, it's a catalyst for that rediscovery of self, because those body image issues and those emotional eating issues are just like a little notification system that we're using them, like you said, to mask, to hide behind. Like as long as I'm working on my body, I don't need to look at anything else, right? As long as I'm working on my food, I don't need to look at anything else. And we get to a point where we struggle with it, right? We either struggle with consistently eating well, or there's self-sabotage that shows up. And then we place the blame on ourselves, where it's like, oh, you know, what is wrong with me that I can't do it, that I can't lose that weight, can't stop eating, can't, you know, I keep emotionally eating. And in truth, again, it's that mask trying to lift, right? It's like in those moments where that struggle happens, that sabotage happens, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just that it's trying to show you that there is something else that needs to happen here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also wondering, we're very impacted, obviously, by our family and our social networks also. So how do you work with clients who might be having difficulty when their family doesn't accept that they would like to leave out the exercise or start eating differently, or their partner or their spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, their friends, if they're not okay with the way the body's changing when you make those decisions? How do you support clients like that and help them work through the fact that they're not being supported?
That is a hard one. That is one of the hardest cases. And I've worked with, automatically a client came to mind, because we worked for 2.5 years together, but she was from an Asian country and the standards there are a little different. So the cultural pressure was really, really important, really huge, and really hard to work through, because I mean, in those moments, families impact so much of what we do, how we show up. And really, they're the first stop, the first people that define who we are when we don't know how to do that for ourselves, right? So like from a little kid, like we get our definition of who we are from the people that we surround ourselves. And I mean, hence we have a lot to work through sometimes. Families are a great thing. And when that support system, be it closest friends or family, which, you know, they have their own beliefs and they have their own pressures. And one of the things that I, in supporting clients like that, it's one, I become that support system. And that's that held strength to remind them. And this is something that, thinking about that one client, is the first thing that we worked on was coming back to your true self, like coming back to your voice and recognizing it's not that we're going to, you know, I'll never shame or judge or, you know, anybody's family for whatever beliefs they held, because they get to hold the beliefs that they get to hold. If they, our job isn't to change their mind about it. Our job is to empower ourselves to know that despite what the family or friends see in us, we get to make decisions that feel good for us. So it's becoming that empowered self. And it does take a lot of time. Sometimes it does take a lot of time to really enforce some boundaries and compassionately have open conversations with the family members or friends that are open to listen to, right? That's the most important part, is if they're open to listen to, if they're open to support you in that and create conversations that enlighten them as well. And you get to have whatever beliefs you have. And I would like love for you to support me in my journey as well. So it's finding that voice within yourself and practicing it. Again, it starts with you, right? Doing a little, like even empowering you when it comes to making choices day to day that are outside of the family, that empower you. It's like, I get to make the choice that feels good for me. I get to make the choice not to work out. I get to make the choice to eat this and that or the other. And the stronger you become with that, then we start, you know, the work on boundaries and the work on open communication starts. And that is honestly one of the, I get chills because thinking of that one particular client when we were graduating, she was graduating. One of the things she said was like, yes, I fixed my relationship with food. My body feels healthy. I feel happy. And one of the most amazing things that I've learned was how to have open conversations with my family that holds me to a, or holds incredibly different standards, right? Because she was able to come to the US and have that little bit of an open mindset versus, you know, there's some countries that just have their own, you know, standards and beliefs, and they hold each other to a certain standard. So it can be really hard to have them open their mind. And it took us a while, but that was one of the things that she said is like, through learning how to like take care of me and be compassionate with myself and be curious with myself and not be scared of all of these hard feelings, I learned how to have open conversations with my mom, my dad, my aunt about the fact that my body's okay. I mean, she had an aunt tell her to her face, like, oh, I think you gained weight, you know, which is like the biggest fear of everybody, right? And she was like, yes, thank you, and moved on, right? So it's so incredible how we get to become that support system for ourselves and to recognize that we are our own person. And yes, people will have opinions. And it usually comes from care. They just don't know any other way to show that care. So just being compassionate towards their expression of care and having your own voice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What a powerful story. And I'm so glad that your client was able to take this journey with you and actually find her power in all of this and feel empowered through making those changes. That's amazing. Now, you work with clients, obviously, on different kind of challenges, and you work with them as a coach. So do you have any programs or services that listeners could check out, or how can they connect with you if they'd like to work with you or know more about you?
Of course. First stop, you can always connect with me on Instagram. That is the easiest way to find me. And I do have my primary program. So I run my one-to-one program. So it's the Find Your happy method, that it's a deeply transformational one-to-one work. So we get to work closely together. So that is something that I run all the time. Spaces, you know, having availability. So I have my one-to-one program. And then I also do a few times a year, I run a small group experience. So it's a 6-week Confident You experience where we work closely on, in a very small and intimate group, on finding that confidence in yourself. So in your body, or in, some people come with the body issues, some people come with just confidence to set boundaries and have conversations. So we really work closely with that. I just finished a cohort last month, and I'm going to be preparing to run another at the end of January. So I have both the small group experience and then my one-to-one program for that big support to transform the things that you want to transform.
Amazing. And we will be linking to all of Ara's offerings in the show notes as well. So be sure to check there on how you can get a hold of her on the socials, how you can find her longer program and also the shorter program if you're interested in working with her. And we'll be putting all of that there for you in the show notes. Well, this has been another incredible episode, and I really hope our listeners have enjoyed our journey into how to embrace your insecurities as much as I have. It has been such a pleasure chatting with you today, Ara, and it has been so inspirational to hear your story and how you work with clients. I'm absolutely humbled by what you offer the world. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about that today.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share my story and just creating such a beautiful space here. And thank you for anybody who tuned in to listen to this story.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope that this speaks to our listeners and they take away from this episode that they are worthy and worth of loving. And hopefully they connect with you also and maybe work on some of those things if they come up. So yeah, thank you so much, Ara, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.